Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, reading verse 1 through 6. Now in our study, we're in the book of Exodus chapter 14, and obviously that's talking about the great victory that God gave Israel, the people of God, at the Red Sea, when the Red Sea parted and they went through, and all the Egyptians were drowned. But let's go ahead and read the text. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all drink that same spiritual meat, and did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank from that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." Heavenly Father, once again we come into your presence. And I'm asking, Lord, that you would help the people to understand the Word of God. Help them to see Christ. Help them to understand the Scriptures, and that Christ would be made plain to them. Lord, we, as the man said, we would see Jesus. Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord, enlighten us today. And Lord, we're grateful and thankful, Lord. And thank you that we have so great a salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the passage I read, I've used before. As you know, I enjoy studying the types, the things in the Old Testament that foreshadow the things in the New Testament. And as I said, I've used this passage in the Greek, the word tupos, which is where we get our word type or types, is used two or three times here in this passage. Now these things were for our examples. And that word examples is tupos. And the point is, and I guess the direction of most of my ministry, or a good portion of it, is to find Christ in the Old Testament. We know that Hebrew is a language of pictures. We know that Greek is a language of thought. But we can see Christ in the Old Testament. We can look in the lives of the various, let's say, heroes of the faith, or the prophets, or the fathers, or something. We can see Christ in their actions. We can see Christ in the temple of Moses. We can see Christ in this great victory that we're studying about today at the Red Sea. We can see the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And like I said, that is a major focus of my ministry. But it says here in verse 2, "And all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Now, we know water baptism. We understand what water baptism is, and some of us know what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is that gives us the power for service. But it says that the children of Israel were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. We studied last time, the last two verses of chapter 13, I believe it was, that God had a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud, or column of cloud, by day, to lead them, to give them shade, and as we'll find, to give them protection. And also it says that they were baptized in the sea. They went through the waters, and we understand water baptism. We go down into the water and then we come back up. To baptize is to immerse. But it says baptized unto Moses. We understand that we need to be in Christ. I don't necessarily think that we need to be in Moses. So we need to understand the language of that, and that's, we're going to come back to that when we get to Romans chapter 6. Now, I believe that if you're a Christian, you should be baptized. There's no question. You should be baptized, if at all possible. But the question sometimes arises, is baptism necessary? In other words, if you believe and you feel in your heart that the Lord has come into your life, if you've confessed and believed and what have you, are you saved? Or is the work not complete yet, and do you have to be baptized in water for the conversion experience to be complete? I believe the Bible teaches, and I would say that most of Christendom believes and teaches that salvation is done by faith in what Jesus did on the cross. Baptism is important. If you play sports, for instance, baseball, if you're going to swing at the ball and hit it, coach always says that you need to follow through. If you want it to go far, if you wanted to have good control of the ball, what have you, you need to follow through. After the bat strikes the ball, you still need to follow through. Now, the ball has already absorbed the energy that it's going to absorb. It's on its way, but you need to follow through. And that is sometimes used as an analogy for baptism, that we're saved through faith in Christ. But baptism is you following through. And again, there's a couple of verses here in Peter, for instance, that mention it's like a follow-through. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And this is the Apostle Paul speaking, the guy that wrote almost half of the New Testament, who gave us the understanding of the new covenant. He says, I thank my God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. He's thanking God that he did not baptize anyone except Crispus and Gaius, lest any man should say that I baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also of the house of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. So just a handful. This man saw thousands, 10,000, I don't know how many people got saved under his ministry. But he's thanking God that he did not go around baptizing. For Christ sent me not to baptize, it says here in verse 17, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, I did a study some years, probably 20 years ago. One of the Greek words used in the New Testament is katergeo. If I'm pronouncing it right, I have no idea. But katergeo means to be rendered useless and powerless. But he says here, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And that word of none effect is katergeo. He says, Jesus didn't send me to baptize. He sent me to preach the gospel. If he'd sent me to go around baptizing, there was a danger that the cross of Christ would be rendered useless and powerless. The cross saves. Water baptism doesn't. Again, it's good follow-through. I remember when I got saved. I got saved November 30th, 1984, and I was water baptized on Easter Sunday, 1985. I forget the exact day. I'm sure I could look it up. But I remember when I got baptized. It was, let's say, 5 or 6 months after I got saved. I was saved, and then I got baptized. And I remember when I came up out of the water, I sensed something in my heart. I sensed an assurance that the Lord was with me. I sensed an assurance that I was in God's will. Now, water did not save, but in obedience to the Lord, and I did say obedience, we should be baptized. God says to do it. but it's, as we call, a faith work. You can read about this in the book of James, that works don't save, but works demonstrate that the person has been saved. But in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, it says, "And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Believe, not baptism, but believe. Romans 10, verse 9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." It doesn't mention baptism, because baptism does not save. Acts chapter 10, verse 43, "To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, "Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission." Mark 16, verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Believeth and is baptized. Get saved and follow through. Demonstrate that, hey, God has done something in your life. "But he that believeth not shall be damned," or condemned. Unbelief gets you to hell. Baptism cannot save. Faith saves. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And occasionally some denominations or groups will fall into an error of occasionally thinking that baptism somehow completes the salvation work. Or somehow, if you're not baptized in water, you're not saved. And of course that is error. Romans chapter 6, reading a few verses, starting in verse 3, it says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death?" Now what is that talking about? We know that baptism does not save. We know that you get to be in Christ through faith. We certainly should be in Christ. We need to be in the ark of safety for when the flood and the storm comes. And obviously that's talking about the great tribulation, and it references Noah. We need to be in Christ. But it says baptized into Christ. And some churches will use this phrase, and they say that we would baptize certain people into Christ. And then they link it to church membership and what have you. And that, I believe, is error. What it's talking about here is, remember, the word baptism means immersion. But Paul and some of the other apostles talked a lot about dying to self. About, Paul said, "I die daily." And he said, "Mortify the deeds of the flesh," and what have you. Water baptism symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we know that we need to die to self. We know that we need to surrender our lives, our will, our perhaps ambitions, whatever. If we want to follow Christ, we need to leave everything and follow him. Being baptized into Christ speaks of death, and not water baptism, as some churches will teach. "Know you not that as so many of us were baptized into Christ," in other words, born again and saved, "were baptized into his death." So it's not talking about water baptism there. Verse 4, "Wherefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even though also we should walk in newness of life." Now, it is again talking about death. And perhaps you can quote other verses, such as 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new." He wants us to put away our old thoughts. He wants us to stop hanging around with the old friends. We shouldn't end up in the bar on Friday or Saturday night. We need to end up in church on Sunday morning. There's a new life he's talking about. And that's sometimes that sounds like a punishment or God is a killjoy. I can testify that I was afraid in the 7 years since I first heard the gospel until I finally surrendered my heart. I was afraid that I would lose my identity. I was afraid that I wouldn't have any fun, that I wouldn't have any friends. And that is an understandable fear, but I can testify that my life changed for the far better. I have peace. I have joy. I have the assurance that if I died, I would go to heaven, etc. I could spend the rest of the program telling you what the benefit is to being saved. And obviously, many of you could testify as well. But here in Romans chapter 6, verse 5, "For as we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." And he's talking about, okay, you've been saved, now let's go ahead and live as though you have died to self. "Now if we are dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For that in he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God." Now I believe that this not only speaks of living the new birth, but also the fact that, hey, one day we get to go to heaven. 1 Peter 3:20, "Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water." The like figure, and that word figure in the Greek is tupos, and again, that's a foreshadowing, and it's a type of symbol. And it's saying that baptism is a symbol of what Christ did for us on the cross. And also, it speaks toward, and as we're just fixing to read, it speaks toward the new life that we should be living. "The like figure thereunto, even baptism also doth save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." So we can see that baptism does not save, but it is a testimony, it is an encouragement to walk with God in a new life. You look at, for instance, one of the prostitutes that was saved under Jesus' ministry. We find her several places weeping before the Lord. We see her at one point washing the feet of Jesus with her tears and drying his feet with her hair. And we know that she, history tells us, continued to walk with God and led others to the Lord after his resurrection. And that's what God is saying. Baptism is a part of our testimony. And I would encourage everyone to be baptized and to continue, just as the scriptures say, to follow after the Lord. Now let's go ahead and look at the book of Exodus. We said in the last two verses of chapter 13 that God took a pillar of cloud by day to lead them the way, it says, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. And we said that Jesus will be with us always. The Holy Spirit will go with us always. When he said he wouldn't leave us comfortless, that he would come unto us. But it says here in verse 14, and I'm going to have to skip through this. We don't have a lot of time left today. But chapter 14 of the book of Exodus, starting in verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it you shall encamp by the sea." That God led them, it says. God led them up against the Red Sea. And as we read this chapter, we understand that Pharaoh, well, let's read what it says about Pharaoh. In verse 5, it says, "And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, in that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the rest of the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them." Verse 9, "But the Egyptians pursued after them, and the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, beside Pihahiroth, before Baal Zephon. Now here's where it gets interesting, I suppose. In verse 10, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord." And if they had just done that, if they had cried out to God, then that would have been a fantastic thing. And certainly when we get into trouble, and you can read the Psalms of David, for instance, that when he got into trouble, he cried out to God, and God delivered him. Maybe not the way he thought, maybe not right away, but God delivered him, and God will deliver you if you cry out to God. But one of the errors that Israel made and continued to make for a long time was they would take their eyes off of the Lord. They would leave off following God's word, and they would look at their circumstances, and they would fall into sin. You know that when Peter, Jesus called him and said, "Come," he jumped out of the boat, and he walked on the water, and he made it halfway or whatever. He was walking on the sea, just as Jesus was, but he took his eyes off the Lord, and he began to sink, and he cried out, and obviously Jesus came to rescue him. When we take our eyes off the Lord and onto our circumstances, that's when we get into trouble. Remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. But let's go ahead and read what they said in verse 11. "And they said unto Moses, Because that there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Now look what it's saying here. The Jews understood the great miracles that God by the hand of Moses had performed. They knew that they were just delivered just a few days or a week or so ago. They went out with a high hand. They were delivered from Egyptian bondage. And they forget, as soon as trouble comes, they forget what God had obviously and evidently and powerfully done. They look at their circumstances and they begin to murmur and complain and even say, "Look, we wish we'd have stayed where we were as slaves. It'd have been better for us." But in verse 13, "Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Now that's a great promise, that when we get into trouble, we can look to the Lord, we can keep our eyes on him, and then we know, as he gives the assurance, that we can stand and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for us. He'll give us the victory. But too often, we fail to do that. Too often, we want to take things in our own hands. We want to do it our own way. You know, too many churches, they will say, "Well, we need a new pastor. We need to know if we should add on to the church because we're outgrowing it or whatever. Or we need to make a decision what we're going to do." And they'll have a business meeting, and they'll say a few prayers, I suppose, and then they make up their own mind, and they do what they want. And, you know, that's not the way to follow God. You can look at Hezekiah, for instance. When he got into trouble, he took that letter and spread it before the Lord and said, "Lord, read it. You're going to have to help us." He didn't make up his mind what to do. He trusted in the Lord, and the Lord delivered him. The Lord showed him what to do, and the Lord delivered him. And like I said, too often, many churches fall into the error of they pray just as a show, really, and then they make their own decisions. That is wrong. We should trust in the Lord, and he will lead us. And I guess we're running out of time. Let's pick it up here next week. But once again, I ask that you would pray for me. Pray for this ministry. Please hold me up in prayer. If you like what you're hearing, understand that others are listening, they're being helped by the Lord. Please pray for me and please pray for them. And I thank you. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today.
and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.